Welcome to Ready, Set, Roll, a side story. It's not your usual story. It's a different universe itself. Different characters, same players, and even an occasional guest. Welcome to Ready, Set, Roll, Side Shot.
Alrighty. Welcome back to Ready, Set, Roll, the Curse of Strahd edition. As, let's see here. Last time on the show, spooky stuff happened, and why don't we let our players, Ben, Brennan, and Daniel, give us a recap.
Well, you see, it's been so long. So we, hearing about Lady Windermore's issues from the city of Gravemore, decided to partake of the fantastic meal she had prepared for everyone as a victory party. We heard partying happening outside, and from there, little investigation, we went and found our mysterious interloper sitting by the fire playing quite the tune, adding his own bits to the fireplace. We got pulled into his tales of a land far distant, ruled by a tyrant that is in need of rescuing. This information until we went back to Lady Windermore and kind of gave her an update to the situation of the caravan outside her city walls she had been contemplating on what to do with. And from there we made our way back to the mysterious man's Stenimir?
Stenimir.
Stenimir. Went back to Stenimir and said we'd travel with him back to his land, their land. And I believe that's where we left off.
Also, we got paid, bitches. Woo!
You all did get a little bit of money.
Yep, we got 15 gold each.
You wake up on the road. The three of you are in the back of a covered cart. One of many in the caravan. In the distance, you can see the ruins of a large wall with steel doors guarded by two crumbling statues of headless soldiers.
Headless soldiers?
Yes, they don't have any heads, and it looks like that was intentional.
And we're on the so you said you're currently on the road, and we passed these two statues.
You have not passed them yet. You can see them in the distance, and you're headed that way.
Like, are they massive statues, or are they just kind of like?
It's part of the wall, and I mean this wall is huge. Like the wall comes up to these two headless statues flanking each side of almost guarding this steel metal door.
Oh, looks like we're in the bad side of the country.
Where exactly are we in the country, though? I'm not familiar with out here.
I've never actually heard of this place before. Barovia. That's got a weird twin to it.
Repeats in the same slow manner. Barovia.
Yes, truly a mysterious country there, click-clack.
She hisses.
We're just going to keep coming up. Jingle Jangle's got a point. We may be in some strange territory. Is there like a window Mossbeard can poke his head out of?
Yeah, think of it like a Oregon Trail type of cart, you know what I mean? Like, it's got the overhang and stuff, but basically you're just... You can kind of peek out the front of it where you see the rider and the horses, and that's where you saw the statue in the wall. But behind you is a pretty big, you know, window, if you want to call it that. Just giving you a brief rundown of what you see. It is super overcast here. I mean, like, super overcast. You would think that it's about to rain at any moment. You only know it's day because it's barely shining any light here. Like, that's the only difference. It's kind of odd. Like, you have a really eerie feeling, like, while you're riding through the woods, like, somebody or something is, like, at any moment could hop out and, you know, pounce and get you. There is, outside of this trail you guys are going, you can only see about 5 feet in front of you, and then there's, like, this Scooby-Doo-esque fog. Scooby-Doo could go over with like a knife and cut it out and eat it. Like, that's how thick this fog is.
You suddenly hear Kinko, "Row, row, Raggy."
Have you been talking to someone with rheumatism? Excuse me, carriage driver. How much longer until our destination?
Hey, we'll be there shortly.
All right. I mean, I won't lie, these seats are pretty comfy.
So comfy that you all slept through the night.
All right, I'm ready to go.
How far did he say we were going? Never mind.
Suddenly. He said that you all would be there shortly. And just as you guys are saying this and you're kind of getting a little restless, the horses stop and you kind of come to like a jerk, like a boom, you know, and you hear like everything's all moving around a little bit before it comes to a complete stop. And just as you look behind you, Stanemeyer is just kind of like there. And, he greets you all at the back of the cart.
This is as far as we go today. Tomorrow we pack up and move again, but we'll worry about that then.
So did we stop before those that massive wall?
Yeah, you haven't hit that
wall
yet. How
far in the distance does that look to be?
It's fairly close. Like, you could get there if you trekked about half a day.
Kinko hops out. And kind of and quickly like tugs at Stanimir's clothing and points at the wall. What?
Right.
What that? Says it as like, it's like she's speaking it as like a little kid. Like, she clearly stole this from a child at some point.
Ah, my friend, that's the gates of Barovia. We're just outside of it.
And then she kind of gestures towards the two statues without the heads, because it's, again, like you said, it's clear that the heads are gone, that were purposely removed.
Looks like it's time for some of that dwarven stone cunning to kick in. Gonna do a history of the stone.
Okay.
So it's like double proficiency for history?
Sure.
18.
This is like no stone you've ever seen before. It is like onyx, how black it is. I can send you guys a picture of it if you'd like.
And we're not allowed to enter in yet, or we still have to travel a little ways?
We got a little ways to go, but we wanted to meet up with the rest of the crew first.
No, that's good.
You know, we did say we wanted you to meet Madame Ava.
Well, I'm ready to meet her whenever. Sounds like a pleasant person.
As you all get up out of the cart, there are several tents that are set up, and there is a large fire that burns in the middle of the camp. I've already told you about the overcast sky, and it's barely letting any light through, and it's kind of like raining just a little bit, just kind of like spitting every now and then. But that is about it.
Okay, so we're in a music video for any My Chemical Romance. Got it. So what's our surroundings? Kinko is, once out of the cart, she's very eager to kind of, since she can actually, you know, walk around and move, she's very eager to get around. And so what's the surroundings that we're in? She's going to be kind of exploring them a little bit and kind of getting the feel for them.
It's basically there are about 4 carts that are surrounding this big bonfire, and then there's 5 different tents, and one is larger than the other, with a weird glow coming out of it. there's the main road that you all came off of, and there's a somewhat of a running river next to the camp. Other than that, you really can't see anything because of the almost impenetrable fog that's surrounding the place.
Okay.
That's a lot of fog.
And exactly who built this great wall for your kingdom? It's
well, immense. That would be the master.
Well, that sort of structure would have took years.
Decades.
It's probably an old man by now.
If only that was the case.
Gonna look to Jingles and Mossbeard real suspicious-like.
Kinku kind of looks and goes, "Curse!"
No.
But did we get... Did she ever get an explanation of the two statues without the heads?
He looks at you and goes... I don't know. It was built way before my time. I'm not quite sure what it was used for. If I was to guess, it was probably to intimidate people from coming in.
All right. So, this Madam Ava, you said we should meet her?
Yes, but feel free to... We've been traveling a while. You can hang out around the camp and... do whatever you need. Stretch your legs a little bit. There's no rush here.
Kinku, just considering how long the travel was, Kinku's gonna go over to the river and refill her water skin. Is it possible to see what's on the other side of the river at all? Or is it just like the fog is...
You can only see about 10 feet in front of you when you get up.
I'm
to the
assuming,
river.
Does the river get like deep quickly, or is it kind of shallow and just kind of sinks in?
It's shallow and then goes
okay,
down.
So it's like.
But while you all are there, I'm just gonna tell you what you kind of see. There are about
sure. I'll take a minute to ritual cast detect magic. Thank you, Craig, for asking.
There's 8 different horses that are by the river, Kinku, where you can mm-hmm. see. This is just like plain bullshit stuff that you could. There's about, let's see here, I'd say 20 people that are just kind of milling about, minding their own business. Some people are talking and others are hanging around. One person in particular is sitting by the fire and he's kind of like got his eye on you guys, you know, but he's more laid back. He's got like a relaxed demeanor. He's kind of drinking a little. He's got the rosy cheeks. You can tell he's been drinking for a while.
Okay.
Roland, I haven't heard anything from you in a while. What are you doing?
I am looking for a glowworm.
Is he being obvious about it? Like, how's he doing this? Because Kinku, once gets the water skin, is probably heading back towards you too.
Probably turning over rocks. That's the easy way.
Kinku comes over and looks at Roland. And looking at the rock, and she's like, gesturing towards the rock.
I will only respond by gesturing and do my best to like make a worm finger.
She takes her fingers and do the worm and repeats and mimics it.
He's just gonna keep digging for the worm.
We're skipping rocks, are we?
We can.
Sounds like fun. And, Mossbeard's gonna cheat a little bit by casting magic stone, give his stone a little bit more oomph.
Once it hits the water, it just explodes. It's like a couple fish pop up and float down the river.
Kinku tries to go grab the fish.
Once you get a couple, like a little bit farther down the river, and you start getting into the fog, it's like you come out the other side.
So from like the opposite side of the camp.
Yeah.
Ooh. Kinku looks around very disturbed. Did she manage to get at least a fish?
No. It's...
Kinku...
The river was moving really fast.
The Kinko's now very depressed. And
actually,
wet.
Turn around and go back the other way, and I'm going to look and watch the other direction that they were just going.
Wait, did the fish come back the other way?
No, they don't.
So now, The Kinku is just shaking, trying to dry her feathers off and everything. And then when she gets back, she kind of tugs at both of you and points to where... Were they informed of where Madame Ava is?
Not really. He is standing here, is kind of like helping everybody get stuff off the cart and stuff. He was really busy. He just kind of told y'all to, you know, just hang out or whatever. But you did notice that that one dude was there. He's the only one that actually stood out other than just everybody else's bull, you know?
What's, what did my detect magic pick up, by the way?
Your detect magic picked up a shitload of magic from one tent in particular. And every now and then it's got like a faint, weird glow that comes out of the tent.
And I'm guessing the fog. Is it putting off magical aura? Or does it seem natural?
It seems natural to this plane.
The fuck you say?
Seems like it's supposed to be here.
Whoa.
Did I find my glowworm?
Alright. That tint is glowing like that fire from last night.
Oh.
And there's magic everywhere.
So is there any magic in this? I'm gonna produce the jar of weird stuff I bought from that guy last time.
No. It literally looks like this dude just kind of like found clay and put it in a jar.
Yeah, you got it ripped off, man. Ah, it's unfortunate.
The Kinku holds her hands out.
It gives you a nice, like, glow if you rub it on your face because it's more or less like makeup.
I'm going to save this for later. I'll share it with you, my dear friend Bird.
They probably tested it on the animals.
On second thought, you can have it.
The dirty heathens.
What?
On second thought, it's yours.
Kinku raises her hands up. Ha ha! Like Link. Da 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 da!
Please don't smash it. I promise it's not full of money.
I guess we're just waiting around until we're called to Madame Ava. Not much else to do around here except kick back and relax.
Waiting around at? Just standing out in the middle?
Just chilling in the camp. Obviously, if we get approached and talked to, we'll talk to them, but...
So, as you're standing around, you hear a guy going, "Hey! Hey!"
Kinku replies with his voice, "Hey! Hey!"
It's the person that's sitting next to the fire.
Yep. Kinku kind of tugs both of you and points at him.
Yes.
So, what brings you all here? Fame? Wealth? Land?
Obviously, Kinku looks and goes,
"Looks at Kinku." Yeah.
He kind of gives like a little snicker, like, "Yeah. A few years ago, a mighty wizard stood exactly where you are, saying he would free this land of its curse. He even rallied the people of Barovia to form a mob and stand up to the devil. But when Strahd appeared, the townsmen fled. The wizard and Strahd, they slung spells at one another, and it was a spectacle to see. Thunder and lightning were no match for the wizard, but the devil Strahd, when he fell upon him, the wizard was finished. I watched him fling that man 1,000 feet to his death with my own eyes. He had the same gusto as you all did when you came here."
"And you said he was a wizard?"
"Yeah."
"Nah, he's probably alive then."
"Well, I climbed down to see what I could take from his body because, you know, he wasn't using anything, but I guess the river," and he points over to the running water, "had the same idea. There's no man that could have survived that fall, especially after being torn up like that."
Right.
But
yes, my companion had a question.
So did this wizard have a name, or was he just the wizard?
Ah, son of a... It was something important, like, I just can't...
Taco Tuesday.
I can't remember it. It was really, like, a really important name, but... I'm
Jim.
Not sure. Too many of these, and he kind of, like, holds up his flask, you know? Anyway, yeah. Y'all here to see Madame Ava, right?
Yes, I believe that's what we're currently waiting for.
Well, I guess if nobody else is going to point you her way, I can. It's that, the big tent over there. She's a nice lady.
Well, I suppose we should go say hello.
Yeah, sure, I'm down.
Repeats his role, hello.
So as you all enter this big tent, once you get inside, it's like eerily dark, but there's a reddish glow that lights the room. There's a small table that sits in front of this even smaller, hunched over woman. The table has like a nice velvet, red velvet top on it. And there's a pretty big crystal ball on the center of the table. There are red crystals that line the room. That's giving off this red hue. It's catching in this crystal ball. And she doesn't even look up at you all as you walk in.
Ah! At last you've arrived!
The Kinko repeats.
I like this one.
Jesus. You knew we were coming.
Well, I know a lot of things. I knew you all would be here, that's for sure. And, if you want to know more, you've came to the right place.
Oh, what can you do? I know you put off a lot of magical aura. Kind of like how some of my flower gardens were.
Well, I can tell your future, if you're interested in
future.
I like to think I'm a man of my own destiny, but maybe just
future.
A quick future.
So she kind of like...
See if my family unexcels me.
So she kind of waves her hand over the crystal ball, and then as she waves her hand, behind her you see a set of cards kind of like fan out, and then they start shuffling because you can hear the shuffle, and she lays out five cards on the table in front of you.
You've come here to vanquish the devil himself, haven't you?
I mean, vanquishing devils, I don't know. We've been trying to herd of a tyrant.
Is the tyrant of these lands legitimately the devil?
He might as well be. Oh, well, you aren't the first to come here. Hopefully you'll be the last, though.
As she starts to flip over these cards that lay out on the table, and the cards make a cross on the table, and there's five of them.
These cards represent things that will help you on your journey. You don't have to get them, but I would suggest you do.
She flips over the first one.
This card will tell the history, knowledge of ancient will. Help you better understand your enemy. Oh, I see you have the missionary.
Wait, what?
That's the card she flipped over. It's like a tarot deck.
The missionary.
Yes.
Hmm. What's it mean?
I see.
And her eyes glow like a green. She goes,
I see a garden dusted with snow.
watched over by a scarecrow with a sackcloth grin. Look not to the garden, but to the guardian.
Okay.
She kind of waves her hand over the crystal ball, and the next card flips up over by itself. She goes, "This card tells of a powerful force for good and protection, a holy symbol for great hope lost." Let's see, what did you get? Ah, the thief. I see it's not the only one amongst you. Her eyes glow green again, and she goes, "Interesting. What you seek lies at the crossroads of life and death among the buried dead."
"Any more?"
She's like, "Baby, there's 5 cards here. Just hang on."
Oh, sorry.
Rush.
Don't mean the rush.
You can look at the table. I like her slow and steady. So she waves her hand over the crystal ball again, and another card flips. And as it's flipping, she goes, "This card of power and strength, it tells of a weapon of vengeance, a sword of sunlight." And as she flips it over, ooh, interesting. I haven't had this one in a while. The Illusionist. "A man is not what he seems. He comes here in a carnival wagon. Therein lies what you seek."
Wow, these are all very interesting.
I promise you, if you follow your destiny, these things will come to pass. Now, these cards are different. These are more direct, more straightforward, and will help you in your cause. This card right here, as she waves her hand over top of the card and it flips, this card sheds light on one who will help you greatly in the battle against darkness. Ooh, it's a bad sign. Okay. The Executioner.
Executioner.
"Seek out the brother of the Devil's Bride. They call him the Lesser, but he has a powerful soul." It would be sad to see him go. Finally, this card is most likely the most powerful card that you will have in your deck. Your enemy is a creature of darkness whose powers are beyond mortality. This card will lead you to him in your final fight. As the final card flips, you see a puppet. This is the Marionette. "Look to great heights. Find the beating heart of the castle. He will be waiting." And you see like a blast of green energy, and you can feel it like as it hits you as like a shockwave. Then you all wake up in the middle of the woods.
Oh. What in the hell? Where's the carts? Where's the people?
Everyone's gone.
Shite.
Kika repeats in Mossberg's voice, "Roland." And then repeats in Roland's voice, "Mossberg."
Shite.
Shite.
Something she said really bothered me, though.
Bothered?
Did we fall out the wagon?
No, I think it's worse than that.
So we're in the middle of the woods, correct? Is that all we're seeing? We're just in the middle of the woods. Is that heavy fog still there? Do we still see the wall?
You see the wall. It's this fog kind of splits along the path.
So we can just kind of see like foggy woods, and then we, but the path is clear, and I'm guessing it's going towards the wall.
Yes.
Fuck!
Give me a, and that half a day trek that I told you about is like if you guys are leisurely strolling. So I mean, if you're huffing it, you can get there.
They drugged us.
in a gruff, masculine, kind of angry voice comes from the Kinku. Nah, shit.
You just a mouthy
fuck off
word. Where you learn this language?
Fuck off.
Where you get this language?
In the background, you all hear
Kinku repeats it.
Don't do that, they got wolves. You'll attract them.
Yeah, let's not stay here in the middle of the woods.
Wall.
Exposed.
Wall.
Yeah, wall.
Can I do a perception check to check, see how close that howl was?
Yes. Yes, you can.
20.
Okay, so this howl was extremely close. And not only do you hear a howl, you can hear the heavy paws hitting the ground as it's trudging through this woods.
Is it around us or is it behind us?
It was behind you. You hear the paws around you all. You hear crackling of, snapping of, you know, twigs and stuff. And through this fog, you can start to make out figures. They look small at first, but that's only because they're so far away. You start to see four direwolves trying to surround this company of people.
You oh, all. Okay.
They're they're stalking you all.
Mossbeard will create three magic stones and hand two of them to his Kinku friend. Time to go.
Time to go. It repeats and urgently nodding her head.
Mossbeard will start moving to the wall.
All right.
We got a ways to go, but
I'll take up the
back. Okay.
Or at least to find some cover.
The hunt is on as you all are running, and you guys can make out all of these direwolves as they are trying to chase you all down.
Shite.
Kiku's repeating all of that.
I would say you all have maybe two rounds if you wanted to, like, try to dash and get out, or you can figure out, like, we're gonna make our stand before they will catch up to you all.
So two rounds.
You can either keep trying to huff it to try to make it to this wall, or you can stand and try to fight and defend yourself.
You said four direwolves?
Yes, there are four direwolves.
Okay. All right, we're gonna
run.
We're gonna keep running. And if they start to get too close, I have a plan.
So I'm imagining we're on the move still. We're still kind of like running as we're doing this, right?
Yes.
So while they're running, Kiku's kind of like shuffling a little bit, and she pulls like two flasks of oil out of her cloak and is like, boom!
Let me do my part first, then boom.
Boom.
Roland, what do you got to back us up?
I can ignite them, but we should probably run for the first part of this.
Yeah. So yeah, for the first bit, we're gonna run as far and fast as we can.
All right.
So we just use our speed and then our action for the dash.
Mm-hmm. Behind you all, you can they've kind of caught up just a tad, and you can hear them like.
Don't scare your baby, dude.
But they
wake up like, what the fuck?
They are like gaining on you all.
I guess give me a heads up when they're like 20 feet away from us.
Okay, then that would be next round that they catch up that much.
Okay.
So
it doesn't look like we're going to make the wall before they catch up to us.
No, you all are getting really close. You can see the wall, but they mm-hmm. are more than likely going to be able to catch up to you all.
All right. Wait for it. So next round happens. They're 20 feet away.
And let's roll initiative.
Oh, I was going to cast Entangle.
Oh, you were going to cast Entangle. All right, great.
Yeah.
I like it.
So I was going to, like, whenever they hit that 20-foot marker, boom, Entangle.
Right. Sue, do I need to roll something against you?
Let me double-check this real quick, just to be sure. Because I need to make sure if it's a Dex or Strength saving throw. So... Grasping weeds and vines sprout from the ground in a 20-foot square starting from a point within range. For the duration, these plants turn the ground into difficult terrain. Also, all creatures in the area, when it's cast, must succeed on a strength saving throw or be restrained.
All right, a strength saving throw. All right, I am going to assume you have a 13.
Yes.
All three of them are restrained.
Throw that oil.
The Kinko immediately throws both things of oil at the direwolves.
All right, they are covered in oil.
I'm gonna cast Firebolt.
Boom!
Nice.
Does 22 hit the thing?
Yes, a 22 does hit.
5 fire damage before whatever else happens.
It wouldn't explode, I imagine. I imagine it's going to be, because it's flasks of oil, so it would just
catch.
They're going to burn.
Yeah, so each round they're going to take fire damage.
Okay. And
so how much damage did they take? Or one, the first one? The one you hit?
It's 5.
All right. And at the start of their turn, they will start to take fire damage. Let us roll initiative, and you all can decide whether or not you want to dash and get out of here or whatever.
Okay. Initiative.
I got 20.
I got a 4.
I got a 7.
Jesus.
Alrighty. Well, you all get to go before the direwolf pack. Kinku.
Run.
You can actually throw those magic stones at them.
We run, fight, run.
Run. We're gonna run. We'll let them burn.
Okay, so what's the distance? What's their distance from me?
25 feet is what Daniel said that he wanted to wait before they get there.
Okay. I'll throw one of the magic stones then.
Right, Jazz.
So you get to add 3 plus your proficiency on that throw.
I'm guessing it's a dex.
Let me double check. But I think it's actually wisdom. But you're using my wisdom to throw it.
What's your wisdom?
It's +3 modifier.
Okay, so I'm going to roll, do a +3 modifier, and that should be my hit, I guess, for this?
Yeah, so let's see. The attacker adds your spellcasting ability modifier, not the attacker's, to the attack roll.
15.
That
hits. You also have advantage on it.
Okay, and what kind of damage are we looking at, Mister?
You do 1d6 +3, so it's better than throwing a dagger, almost.
6 damage.
Nice. Which one are you hitting? The one that was previously hit, or does it matter?
Let's do that one. Yeah.
Okay, 6 damage.
And then I will use my 30 move action to move more towards our destination. And as she goes, she'll make the sounds as she goes.
All right. Dan, what is Mossbeard going to do?
Mossbeard is looking at this situation, seeing as the wolves are burning and restrained. He's going to run 50 feet because he is not as fast as the others, and he's trying to get ahead as far as he can.
Nice. He's like, all right, Roland?
I'm going to firebolt one of the other ones that got hit with oil, and then I'm going to run with everybody else.
Go for it.
I got to 20 that time.
Nice. Is it natural?
No, it was after plus 4. It's gotcha. 9 fire damage.
How many?
9.
9. Wow. Good hit. It is their turn. They are all going to take a... What is it? A D6 or D4 for fire damage?
I'm not sure. I think it's one of those two, though, so it's up to you.
I'm going to say since you threw oil on them, I'm going to give it a D6. So the one that's been hit the most is taking 4 damage. The next one's taking 5. Then 4 more. And then the last one is taking 2. As they are, like, you hear them, like, and then they're nipping at the vines trying to get break free, and you all get farther away. The fog overtakes these dire wolves. And as you guys are running, give me a perception check.
Okay.
18.
20, not nat.
I also got a 20 on that.
You guys turn this corner, and you are basically within spitting distance of this giant wall. And you hear crows, like, arr, like, in the distance. And you see a person sitting there holding a wine glass. And he kind of chuckles to himself. That was a very interesting fight. I didn't see that going that way. And he bows deeply and he goes, "Let me be the first to introduce you to my homeland, Barovia. May your stay be welcome." And then the gates just eerily open by themselves. And these are iron gates.
Wait, who are you?
I'm gonna make sure to stand in front of the other two here.
Kink is very happily to stay behind the tall elf man.
Oh, my dear friend. We'll get to know one another very well. But now's not the time for introductions. I'm sure you'll hear of me. And you hear, like, a huge amount of crows behind you start to, like, you know, freak out and fly off, and it startles you to the point where you turn, and when you look back, the man is gone.
Curse.
This place is feckin' weird.
Let's get inside, though.
Feckin'.
Right. Yeah. We head inside. Past the gates.
So past the gates, you all get out of the woods, and you can see a small village up ahead in a clearing. And it will take you all next time to get there. Welcome to Barovia, my friends.
Feckin'.
Awesome. Man, guys, we handled that combat really well.
Entangled. Fire, run.
Yeah.
We have our 3-stack.
I'm out of oil, though.
Oh, man.
We will find you a whale to get more from immediately.
But, I was trying to decide between Fairy Fire and Entangle, and I'm like, you know what, Entangle might just be a better option.
You'll use it once to impress your friends, and then it's purely ornamental.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking difficult terrain might help a lot.
Well, it seemed to help.
How bad did you roll, by the way, for...
Oh, my highest was 11.
Oh, God.
But yeah, I hope you all enjoyed this episode of Curse of Strahd. I know it's been done time and time again on a bunch of different Dungeons & Dragons podcasts, but this book is extremely fun, and you can make it your own. So just because one podcast does it one way does not mean you have to do it that way. I've taken a lot of liberties, and I've changed stuff around, but I hope you've enjoyed it. If you want to, you can go into the show notes below and purchase your own book. But on behalf of Ready, Set, Roll, we hope you stay strong during this quarantine. And my friends, thank you, Brennan, for being here.
Well, I am happy to be here, and I look forward to next time.
And Ben, thanks for showing up.
Curse!
And as always, the ever faithful Daniel, he doesn't really have a choice here. I drag him into these no matter what, so thanks for showing
up. Yay, I get to play a dwarf again. I'm so happy.
I don't know if next week's episode will be Curse of Strahd. It really depends on the quarantine situation and if, you know, these people are free to actually participate. But I really look forward to doing this on a regular occurrence. So keep a lookout for the Curse of Strahd episodes. I think it's going to be a little more roleplay than usual, but it can be fun. So good night.
See ya.